Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today. In our intro, I always take a look at the picture of Bill with the fake Undertaker from WrestleMania.
I love that picture. It's the Taker picture I always wanted.
It is.
But I can't get the real one.
He looks so much like Undertaker's stunt double.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Which you could greatly use at this point.
Yeah, he definitely could.
The irony.
Irony indeed. But that's every time I look at that picture, I'm like, yeah, you're just like slightly uglier.
Right. You're like just a few inches shorter.
Yeah.
There's just like something about you that's just quite, you know what I mean?
Like you're going to go off that Hell in a Cell and be so Mark doesn't have to.
But it was like in the spirit of fake Diesel, it was really perfect fake Undertaker.
Yeah,
where it's like
right.
There's just something off about you. Like, have you ever seen pictures of fake Razor Ramon?
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell are we doing here? You know what I mean? It's like that meme where it's like, hey, can we get ice cream? And mom goes, we have ice cream at home. And then you look at the ice cream at home, and it's fake Razor Ramon.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, I can't believe. I mean, I can because of what this man has put us through our entire life. But I can't believe that Vince McMahon was just like, yeah, just trot these assholes out there in the costumes. No. Send Kane out there as Kevin Nash. No one will know. Everybody's stupid but me. I mean, Vince McMahon. Well, everybody's stupid but me.
Isn't that just how Vince McMahon operates?
Yes. But like no more perfect microcosm than fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon, where it's just like, schlep him out there.
Yeah.
These morons just came to the circus looking for the elephant. They don't remember what it looked like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It was just like, I do remember that elephant.
And I liked it.
And it wasn't Isaac Yankum.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Right.
How dumb do you think I am?
It has to be the dumbest.
Well, it's the carny part of it, right?
Right.
We're just like, we're just going to go to a different town, and you heard about some guy named Diesel, and there he is.
Right. Not realizing that he's on television every week.
Flipping TV, man. Come on. You have magazines. Like, give me a semblance of credit.
Oh, but that's the way he's felt till now.
Everybody's stupid but me, Vince McMahon.
That's going to be on this tombstone in 4 years.
That's it. That's the whole thing. It's just going to be everybody's stupid. Linda, I never loved you. Everybody's stupid but me.
Oh, man.
Anyway, all right. We got this might not be a particularly long one, but it's a particularly important one, as we're going to talk about a lot of things pertaining to our futures. People that have been following the show lately know that stuff is brewing and changing, and we're going to finally let you know what's going on around here. For those of you who care, we appreciate it. For those of you who just want the wrestling stuff all out, I would chalk it up to a success.
Yeah.
We'll talk about All Out. We'll talk about Chris Jericho going to Longhorn Steakhouse and finding a way to lose 15 pounds.
That was good.
Thank you.
I like that one.
Thank you. And a whole lot more. First of all, if it's your first time listening, thanks. You picked an interesting one. My name's Jason Moss.
I'm Liam Stragan.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And we are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter. And please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, Instagram, Facebook, all over the place. You can find us on newageinsiders.com if it's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/newageinsiders TV. Most importantly, our patreon.com/newageinsiders is where you can become a super duper fan and support the show. And we'll talk a lot about more about that later. And you've made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard. So before we talk about Chris Jericho and potentially having himself a whoopsie, what did you think of All Out?
You know, I liked All Out. I thought it was really good. They do a good job of being the variety wrestling show that I think WWE wants to be.
Okay.
Because all of their matches feel different. You know, there's a little something for everybody. At least,
do you think WWE wants to be a wrestling?
They just want to. No, they want to be a sitcom, but or like Days of Our Lives. But you know, when they say variety show and wrestling fans like cringe a little and it's like, I hope you mean this. This is what they look for because. Okay. There's a battle royal where it's get everybody on the card and, you know, a lot of exciting things happen there. And then there's a grudge match and a hardcore match and a championship match. The one thing that I would say in as like a overall negative is that they really need to solve their Japanese women problem.
Yes, okay. 100%.
Sounds like
they have like we're going to call the Orkin man. Like, yeah. What do you mean specifically?
So for the past few shows, they have these Japanese women that are very, very talented and very, very good. The problem is that nobody knows who they are and have no connection to them. And they keep bringing them out towards the latter third of the show.
Yeah.
And it brings the pace of the show to a grinding halt.
Yep.
Because I'm not invested in either of these women or any of these women yet. And they're going on far longer than they should for somebody I don't care about.
That's my biggest concern.
And it's really then hard to then get up. Now, again, they go on before, you know, the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks, and they have no problem getting the crowd back. But, you know, that's...
It's an unnecessary pause in the action of me.
Right.
So here's the thing, is I'm not afraid to say it. This is my number one complaint with AEW, is I think, quite frankly, they're trying a little too hard to be cool. Just a little bit.
Yep.
The idea, so like, here's a topic of discussion. I am not going to go down the lunacy that is whether or not Nyla Rose has a, quote, unfair advantage in a pro wrestling match.
They're fictional characters.
Right. I mean, it's absurd. This fight is fixed. It's rigged. And so if you're concerned about whether or not her being born biologically male will affect the outcome, you're incorrect. A guy with a notebook does that. I'm not going to go down that rabbit
hole. Also, it's very, very weird where, just because the flip side to that is everybody loves it when Jordynne Grace, like, power bombs some dude.
Yeah.
And, like... And
she picked up Brian Cage.
Right, you see some indie show and...
Or Ethan Page kicks her head off.
Right, and you're all about that.
Yeah,
but
right.
Stop being ugly.
Right, you know? Well, that's the...
But I do think you're right. I do think you're trying a little too hard because I don't know anything about Nyla Rose.
Right.
And I would... prefer it to be Awesome Kong.
Well, here's the thing, is just like, I don't have any issue with her being in wrestling, AEW in the match. I just think that this is a perfect example of somebody who in the ring is okay.
Yeah.
And so the idea, again, this is in zero point of my argument is, I don't know, how is she going to square, if this isn't the UFC, it's stupid to talk about that in wrestling. What I'm talking about is the idea that, quite frankly, I don't mind saying it, I don't think she's worth the trouble when all AEW, in my opinion, is trying to do is score cool points. I'm not saying this woman is untalented or undeserving of a spot. I'm just saying, isn't it so AEW to make a transgendered woman their first champion to be like, look,
we're woke, we're progressive.
We get it.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. And the reason I agree is that it's not one particular thing. It's everything. Agreed. Right.
Yep.
Because it's making a big deal about the sensory deprivation rooms.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's the Japanese wrestling. It's the Japanese women's matches that, quite frankly, nobody actually cares about.
Right.
And maybe you will one day, but guess what? Probably not.
Well, having Riho versus Britt Baker would have made that match interesting because I know who Britt Baker is.
Right.
I have no connection to Riho yet.
Yep.
And that I expect will change when they're on the TV.
It'll only help.
Right, because now I'm going to be able, because there's a 50-50 shot that Riho's going to be the AEW Women's Champion, right? We went with a bad guy to be the first men's champion, so I think maybe a good guy for the women, right, is pretty great. Plus, having her conquer Nyla Rose is an unconquerable mountain, and she's very large, and Riho's very small, so, oh my God, it's great. Classic wrestling. And I think that it'll help when she's on TV a little bit more to get to know her, and those matches won't be the same. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough to get invested in all of the women that were in the Battle Royal and be like, oh, I like this person, and I like that person, and I like this person, and that person. And then it's just like, I don't know anything about these two women. And I just watched Shawn Spears and Cody Rhodes put on a very entertaining match. And so it's really tough for me to now get up for this, knowing that I have the championship match with two people I care about and the tag team match with that, which has four people I care about.
Right. And I don't have, and I, just because people on the internet were talking about Nyla Rose, those are our takes. You're just an imbecile if you're having any kind of conversation about the reality of the competition when it comes to pro wrestling. It's just stupid. It's foolish. We all had a good time being little kids wondering if Hogan could actually pick up Andre the Giant. It's a different world, I hope, for you now than it was then. And
it's fictional characters.
Exactly. And so just craziness. I just think that is my overarching opinion of AEW in general, is sometimes I think they're just trying a little hard to be super cool.
Also, I watched something that I thought was really dumb, was people freaking out about bringing Pharaoh out with the...
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was stupid.
Yeah, well...
It was stupid. That dog freaked out. That pyro's loud.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's also cannons.
Yeah.
You know, like, they put the... But the thing is it's just like, I don't get why we have the dog. Like, I don't understand...
Well, here's the thing, is that because Cody has created this persona... You know what I mean? And Pharaoh's part of that persona.
It's the nightmare family, is it what they call it.
Like, the big thing is, like, I don't get, and this is, again, an example of being cool, why'd you come out like Star Trek characters?
Yeah.
There's nothing about, from what I understand, AEW's canon about it. Like, why are you the captain of the Enterprise? Why is MJF here and also wearing Star Trek gear, which doesn't feel like something that character would do for you? You know, to make him go out there and look goofy as shit.
Well, that one makes sense. The weird one was, and it was very Bash at the Beachy towards the end, where it's like, on being the Elite, MJF is like, yeah, Cody, whatever you want. I'll do anything. You're my best friend. I love you so much. And then Cody leaves and he's like, this other person, you're a dickhead and I don't like you and I'm mean and I'm MJF to you. And it's just, and then Cody walks in and it's just like, oh, you're so nice. I love you, you know? And so it's like, okay, that makes sense that character would do that. But the Bash at the Beach moment was at the end of the match when he like picked up his shirt or picked up the chair. Is MJF going to turn on Cody? And it's just like, that was never in question. Why are you bringing that up?
Yeah, right. That's my only thing. I don't get why you're dressed like Star Trek characters.
Yeah.
I don't get why you thought it'd be a good idea to bring the dog into a pyro tunnel, into a fireworks tunnel. But
The only one I don't understand, I just don't understand why we keep the dog. Like, is the dog going to be everywhere?
The dog is...
Seemingly.
It's like just... It's
the dog does meet and greets at StarCast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Cody's animal t-shirt was the dog.
I remember that.
He is the dog.
Wow.
Yeah. So, what did you think was the match of the night?
So, the match of the night was definitely the Lucha Brothers versus...
Agreed.
The Young Bucks. I mean...
Some wicked bumps by the Young Bucks.
Jeff's galore.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They're fantastic.
It was a
all four
gift
of those
fest.
Men. Those four
Kathy
men.
Kathy Lee Gifford.
They're so good. They're so talented. I think it's really cool that they're allowing the AAA championships to be kind of decided this way.
Yeah, sure. It almost feels like the relationship that New Japan used to have with Ring of Honor.
Right.
Where it's like those belts can just show up and be part of the show, and that's cool.
That's cool. You're going to come down to us sometimes, and that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like that. I do like that working relationship. I think it's better for wrestling if there's some more cross-pollination because it allows you to have people that are from different worlds show up from time to time. I mean, the WWF used to do it with ECW.
It's a reason for Mexican fans to potentially tune in.
Right, exactly.
What do you think about Chris Jericho becoming the AEW World Champion? First one.
You know, it was definitely, predictable, but that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It was a good match, but it was a necessity. I need to have Chris Jericho be at the top of my promotion right now.
I get it. You're going to TV.
Right. I'm going to TV, and I need to... I make all of the news saying that Chris Jericho is the champion. Well, I know who Chris Jericho is.
Yep.
I'm going to tune in.
That's exactly it. Like, you know, I was talking to a lot of people leading up to it, and they go, who do you think is going to win, Jericho or Paige? And I said... I think Paige is going to win because I think that company, and incorrectly, and I wasn't right either, but I mean, what I thought the company was going to do was really try to tell you that, look, in this world of wrestling, that we're going back to this old school where it's like, who's the real champion kind of thing?
Right.
We want you to feel about Hangman Page the way that WWE wants you to feel about Seth Rollins, the way that New Japan wants you to feel about Okada. We want you to know that this is our guy and here he is. And
right.
That moment will come.
Yes.
And he will be that guy.
Yes.
But I said what I would do is put it on Chris Jericho for everything you just said. I'm about to hit TV.
Yep.
No one's going to go on the internet and get people buzzing and talking more than that guy will. And eventually, you know, the second AEW champion is probably Adam Page. And that's okay, too.
Yeah.
Because we'll get a chance to actually get to know him on TV. Jericho's the safest, probably smartest pick on that roster, shy of a John Moxley who's unavailable.
Right.
And so that's just,
yeah.
I completely get it. I do think, though, that their intention is for Adam Page to be their quarterback, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we had another surprise return, which was really good. LAX showed up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that's awesome. Formerly EYFBO.
Another one I didn't quite understand as far as a surprise was how loud the crowd... It was almost like Jericho's debut in 99, where it was like silent, and then everybody was like, "Wah!"
Yeah,
was
yeah.
Mercedes Martinez as the Joker.
Weird. That was weird.
I didn't understand that at all.
She just
and then
like,
she did nothing.
She just got eliminated.
Do you think people maybe thought she was AJ Lee?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Is that the only thing that might be?
Maybe, but it feels like they... because like they had the camera on her, and she had a mask on, so you didn't know who it was, and they must have flashed like Mercedes whatever on the screen, and the crowd was like...
They probably saw Mercedes and then was just like,
Sasha Banks! That is absolutely the right answer.
Which I just found out that they have a corgi.
Yeah. Sasha does?
Yeah.
Recently acquired.
Yes. Oh. I didn't realize that. And okay. So
are you a Banks
guys,
fan now?
I'm now a huge Sasha Banks fan and she's awesome.
Okay.
Enjoy hanging out with Callie.
I will. Me and Callie, we're just gonna sit around and braid each other's hair.
That's all she'll talk about. I want to bring this up because we talked about it last week and now we know the answer. And I feel like this is just a question that's going to live forever, but here it is anyway. CM Punk was part of StarCast. Probably the most interesting quote to take away from it was I would say two of them. The first one is probably a little less interesting, which is him telling everybody, "Hey, you don't have to pick AEW, NXT, WWE. If you like wrestling, you like wrestling, stop, you know, picking teams," which I think is a very astute observation, and I don't have to like the guy to think that he's right about certain things, and I think he's right about that. And the second thing, which is probably the bigger takeaway, is somebody flat out asked him. They go, "Triple H and or Vince McMahon called you. Would you pick up the phone and talk to them?" And he said no. Now, it's easy to sit there in that room with those people around you and say no, but I tend to believe it to be true.
Yeah.
So with him having zero to do with All Out, and really being, if we're being honest with ourselves, 0% on wrestling's radar shy of conventions, which makes him on the same wrestling radar as Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, showing up to Bill's birthday?
You know what I mean? Yeah, Bill's aunt, Greg the Hammer Valentine. That woman, uncanny.
I wish I could find the picture.
Uncanny. Joan the Wrench Joan the Wrench Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That was...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Punk used a double negative.
Yeah,
when he
said
that
he would speak to them.
He said he wouldn't not.
Yeah, right. That was it. It was like if they called, he wouldn't not talk to them.
I thought that was the case. And then Nick B. Yeah. And Chad just said the same thing.
So CM Punk wouldn't not. Okay.
So basically, they got a call.
Why can't you make my life easy?
Yeah. Basically, if they called, he'd answer is what it is, which is exactly where I thought leading into that weekend is where we were with CM Punk. The fact that you're doing more conventions and you're doing more things that can generate you money means that
are you not surprised though that if he would jumped into wrestling it wouldn't be this company that is fuck you WWE?
Oh, I don't think he's there yet. I think we're on the train because it's very like he was
why not say a CM Punk classic thing and be like
CM Punk is a smart businessman. He knows what he needs to say and when.
I agree with you. I'm just thinking
it's
interesting.
UFC, it's like wrestling sucks and it's fake,
right? But I understand. I'm agreeing with you. I just think it's interesting and worth noting that it sounds like he's leaping the door open.
Yeah, sure.
Well, he was in a ring.
There's
training.
Money to be made.
Yeah, he was in a ring training. So
if he comes back to wrestling, where does he come back?
He's going to come back to AEW because now again. Okay. So I need to make a basically, you got to keep looking at the moments that could potentially be created. While it would have been great to have CM Punk show up at All Out, I don't need it because I need the moment of Jericho holding the championship. That needs to be my moment and takeaway from that show.
Okay.
So what is the moment and takeaway from the first ever AEW television program? Well, if CM Punk was to show up to that, then... that would be pretty big news.
Gotcha. Yeah,
here's an interesting tidbit,
too. We should put him in
a
white blouse and have him come down an escalator.
Ooh.
That's a first Nitro joke.
Nice.
Lex Luger.
Here's an interesting tidbit, too, because 6 weeks into their television, they're going back to Chicago.
Right.
That could be some sort of...
I also love it how we've basically, as wrestling fans, determined that CM Punk is a genie and his bottle is Chicago, and the only way we can get him out is if a show is there and maybe somebody rubs it the right way.
Well, that's where you get the best
reaction.
Like,
CM Punk can't come back next week, guys. They're in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and CM Punk is afraid to, he's just afraid to leave the stoop. And the stoop, and the stoop is the greater Chicago area.
Yeah. I think that it's just, where's the moment? I mean, he was in a wrestling ring. He's been doing more conventions and things like that. So I feel like we're closer than ever because, yeah, six to eight months after leaving WWE, yeah, I got all my money. I got my t-shirt money. I got all that money. I don't need to do anything.
It's interesting.
Well, now two UFC failures later, and
his smartest move would be to go back to WWE. He'll make more money in a year than he'll make in his entire run in AEW.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I do think that there is some validity. Like,
he'll make more money WrestleMania weekend.
You're right.
Because of the merch. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. I think that the guy, as weird as we find his like psyche to be, I think that he does believe in what he believes in.
I agree with you.
And
I do.
So
Paul Heyman said that.
Right. And I do think that when Paul Heyman said that if he comes back, it will invalidate the reason he left. Okay, so that's fine. So it's like, yeah, well, I'm CM Punk, and I think these fans are going to be just as ravenous as...
Oh, sure, right.
You know, yeah, the WWE fans that are going to buy my shirt anyway.
The merch money will be close because pro wrestling tees will help.
Right, exactly.
But he'd make more money in a year than he would in a tenure. But yeah. I agree with you wholeheartedly that that's not what this is about to that guy.
Right, and so I think it's like, okay, if it's a couple $1,000 difference in like base pay, which I don't think that that's the case with who we're talking about, like in terms of like company.
Yeah.
Because I'm just
talking about the fact that at WrestleMania weekend, I'm going to stick in front of 100,000 people and everybody's going to buy something from you.
No, you're 100% right. And it's just going to be a volume thing. But I think that he doesn't need that money, right?
Oh, you're right.
So
you're right.
So that doesn't matter to him.
I agree with you. It's not why he's coming back to wrestling, and it wouldn't be the reason he came back to that company. Right. The reason he would come back to that company would be to try to burn it to the ground.
Right, exactly.
And prove every point he needed to prove.
Right.
Because that would be it.
Which is hilarious, because if he came back, it would be the counterpoint of
The Rock.
That was a very interesting thing, because he did speak on that as well. Somebody asked him about when The Rock called him from the Staples Center, and he was like, I was in my elevator and I get terrible service, and then all of a sudden I get out of the elevator and my phone started going nuts because everybody was like, you got to pick up, Rock's calling you. And then he talked about the first time that him and Dwayne like sat down and like talked about their Royal Rumble match and stuff,
yeah,
and like people handing him promos and all this other stuff, and he was basically like, it was awkward and weird, and like I like, we ended up talking after the Staples Center thing, and was like, I'm sorry if that came off weird, and that's the way I do. And he's like, no, and he's old school, and I'm old school, so we got it together, and it was actually really cool, and we had a kumbaya moment. It was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, he's an interesting dickhead. There, I said it! So, okay, now we'll get to the kind of what everybody's been talking about. Chris Jericho got into a limousine.
And it blew up.
Became the first person to take a limo to Longhorn Steakhouse. And then somewhere along the way, there was a mishap with the bags and picking up the wrong luggage at the airport. And by the time Chris Jericho got to his bag, the AEW championship wasn't in it. It appears that as of this broadcast, it has been acquired by the Jacksonville Police Department. And my first question to you, because it's going to affect the entire conversation.
Okay.
Do you think this was on the up, or do you think this was something AEW planned? And if so, why?
I think it's planned.
It's probably more likely than not now.
Yeah, because if they had to make a new one, then it wasn't planned, obviously. But the fact that it was recovered so quickly.
Yeah, how do you get it back? If you stole it, what would you do? Like, bring it to the police department? You're like, oh, I found this? It's like,
right.
No, you didn't. You're the guy that took it.
Yeah, right. Well, and it's also, why would you take it? You know what I mean? Like
I get that, like, it's weird because in theory, if I understand correctly, and we're live for a reason, so tell me if I don't get this timeline right. Chris Jericho exits plane.
Correct.
Picks up wrong luggage. Puts luggage in limousine. Goes to Longhorn Steakhouse and eats. Gets in limo and goes, oh shit, this isn't my bag. I need to go back to the airport.
So I believe he realized that he didn't have the correct bags. Sent the limo driver back.
To get the bags
while he ate.
And then when the guy came back with here's Jericho's bag, didn't have the AEW title in it, meaning in theory, somebody at the airport goes, maybe this is my bag, opened it up to check, saw the AEW title and went, holy shit.
Right.
And snagged it, which I would think would be the criminal here through there correct. Is either the limo driver took it, or the guy that somebody in baggage claim took it.
Right, exactly. Somebody at the airport, somebody that took the bag by mistake, or the limo driver.
Exactly. That's what we have. Here's my suspects. And any of them that show up and go, oh, I found this, shy of maybe the guy with the wrong bag, but I don't even know how you pull that off anymore that you switched the bags. So nobody, I don't think, would have just shown up to the police and be like, whoops, you know what I mean? Like, right. Unless somebody got super freaked out and, like, literally left it and ding-dong ditched the car, or whatever, you know what I mean? Right. I don't know.
So here's a twist on what you guys are discussing. The Tallahassee Police Department is where the picture came from.
Right.
And in that picture on Facebook, it said that somebody said, quote, they found it on the side of the road and turned it in.
Yeah, so this is all fake. It's all bogus.
It's got to be, right?
Because, and the reason...
Chris Jericho lost it in Chicago, but ended up in Tallahassee, Florida?
So, yeah, right.
That's a good point. Right. So here's my question to you. I know what you're going to say, that the reason is publicity, and I don't disagree with you. But let me throw this at you. Do you think that, like, I get it, no such thing as bad press, deal, on the table. However, all Chris Jericho did here was make himself and the company look pretty stupid for 12 hours, right?
You're 100% right.
I get, like, if you come to me on paper and say, we are going to skirt the rules, fog the lines, and try to get people to believe a real-life incident has happened in the company to the point the local police department's cooled out help, I like that. Yeah. It makes me think that, like, you know, kayfabe might have a pulse.
Yeah, right.
But Chris Jericho has a title stolen on the way to the steakhouse only to have it recovered later that day, again, just makes a bunch of memes, and it's the kind of thing where people are laughing at you, not with you.
Right. Well,
I thought.
I 100% agree. You know, the big thing is if we take a different title and company, right, and we go, hey, this is Ring of Honor, and Matt Taven lost the Ring of Honor championship, everybody would be like, Ring of Honor's stupid, Matt Taven's dumb,
yep.
You know, like, ha-ha, this is why you suck, this is why you're failing. And same thing with Impact. If Brian Cage lost the Impact championship, everybody would be like, ha, he's a stupid meathead, and, right. Impact is a cockroach that just won't die, but, God, it's terrible, right? And so it's weird that AEW gets to skirt that, because it's like, yeah, man, Chris Jericho lost their championship 24 hours after winning it.
And so it's because I'm kind of feeling, if I had to guess, that it was all like blurred lines here. You know what I mean? That they planned it, I guess. But again, I keep coming to the point back to, like, why was this the way? So, like, I know that it made headlines, and literally I went on Twitter and a trending topic was like, Chris Jericho loses title and stuff. I get you. You made the news, but again, it just sort of feels like you did, like local man falls on banana peel. It's like, look, they're talking about me. It's
right.
Like, yeah,
I think that the way you salvage it is through being the elite, right?
Shouldn't somebody have, like, in the company have stolen it and, like, it wound up... Like,
yeah, no, you're right. And that could be the reality, right? Like, the reality could have been somebody stole it from the company, but we find that out on being the elite.
Yeah, but we've already got the police stuff, right?
Right.
The police deleted the tweet. So maybe this is a reason why it might be real, is because didn't the police delete that photo that's going around the internet now?
AEW announced it, and then they posted it again.
Okay, because one of the things that would give it legitimacy to be real, kind of, I guess, would be like, look, this happened, but we're going to work with it, so can you please take down that you found it?
Yeah, right.
Because we're going to work with this. I guess it's just weird, because, like, here's the only real-world example I can even kind of muster up, is, like, trying to, like, work with something here, is one time in the promotion that we used to work for, the women's champion... didn't bring the belt. In fact, she lost it. Like, literally wasn't 100% sure where it was. And she had a title match that night and showed up without the belt. And so what the women's champion, the company had to do was go, okay, here's the story. You take your opponent so lightly, you didn't even bother bringing the championship because you disrespect her. And it's like, okay.
Right.
We also had that title change hands that night and didn't have a belt to present.
yes.
Because wrestling's fun. But the point being that, like, you had a bad situation and you tried to work around it. That would be the example of doing so, where it's like, look, we're in a shitty bind, but if Chris Jericho could be funny about it,
Yeah.
Will make bread out of this dough somehow, but I tend to not, I'm still not 100% sure.
Yeah.
It's a dumb way to get press, in my opinion. I know people are saying there's no bad press.
No, there is.
Oh, there's definitely bad press.
No, there is. This is bad.
You look dumb for a whole day.
Yeah, you looked real dumb. Yeah, I thought you were dumb. I didn't know until we were either about to start the show or we're in the middle of talking about this that I thought it was still lost.
Yeah, no, they have it.
So this might change your opinions a little bit. I just pulled up the City of Tallahassee Police Department's Facebook page, and you know it gives the yada 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 about what happened. You know, it says officers learned that a championship belt reported to be valued at $29,250 was stolen from a limo recently occupied by the belt's owner. On September 4th, a citizen returned the championship belt to TPD headquarters, reporting it was found along a local roadway. Now here's where it might actually be real. Is they posted that says this case has been assigned to investigators with TPD's burglary unit and is still an active investigation. Investigators are asking anyone with information about this case to please call them at 850-891 blah 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 blah. Crime Stoppers at 850-574-TIPS. TPD will provide more information when it becomes available.
And
so now they're looking to get their inbox flooded with fake stuff.
Yeah, right. For fake information to keep a wrestling program they'd never heard of alive.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is for what it's worth, and again, this is if you want to do it, you do it right. I get you. He's Dusty's kid. But the police report was filed under Chris Irvine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, in theory, Chris Irvine filed a police report.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, again, I got to sit here and tell you, it's like, I don't get why it's like, yeah, I took a limo to Longhorn Steakhouse, had a bag mishap. We found the belt later in a very non-exciting way. In fact, the least exciting way possible. Yeah. But you're talking about it. Like, it's like, that's...
That doesn't make sense.
I think it's real now.
Yeah.
Now I think it happened.
Well, the big one is that they're asking for real tips.
Right.
If they were just like, look, we found it, huh, yuck, then... Yeah.
Because if this was on... I don't think the police would have found it today.
Yeah,
I think it would have been like Chris Jericho shows up to the first show, and it's like, what's the deal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know who took it, Paige... CM Punk,
right.
You know what I mean? I don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't care, but like whoever they wanted it to be. So yeah, I guess, I know that if you want to fool me, you can't do things that are on the nose. But it's not even like Chris Jericho lost the belt on the way to a Cracker Barrel, who I know is a sponsor.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, why does Longhorn Steakhouse get all this free press? You know what
I mean?
They got nothing to, you know, help. They didn't help anybody do anything. You know what I mean? Why have we specified Longhorn Steakhouse in every, you know what I mean? Like, Chris Jericho wants you to buy Omaha Steaks. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why would we give them free press? And again, why wouldn't it be more wrestling exciting than a bag mishap that was later cleared up?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, well, and again, I mean, let's see what happens on Monday, but that's it. If we don't have footage of Chris Jericho bumping into a shady character at an airport on Monday... In being the elite, then no, this is real.
I think so. I do. And I guess because here's the thing I'll say. If it is fake, then this was stupid.
Yes.
You made your champion look dumb. You made your company look dumb. And all you did was tell me that if you think this is the quote-unquote kayfabe I want, Chris Jericho loses belt at Steakhouse later to be covered by police, then you're going to fail.
Yes.
Then that
because that's not dynamic storytelling.
Exactly. If you're like, look, we're gonna like use the internet, skirt the rules, fog the lines. I like that a lot. But if you think Chris Jericho having a 24-hour bag mishap on the way to lunch is gonna like grab me by the nuts, they'll fail.
Yes, you are 100% right.
Are we taking breaks? Or are we gonna
let's keep going.
Okay. So what we're gonna do now is kind of let our hair down a little bit because about a month or two ago now, Bill announced that he would be moving to Florida. And so that's brought a lot of uncertainty around here about what we're going to be doing and what we're planning on. And, you know, the harsh reality of this thing is that it would be much, much easier if I was moving to Florida and these two guys had to replace me. Because the producer is the button pusher, the pregame guy, you know, it's just the most important part, in my opinion, to this whole thing. And so it's going to be very difficult to do this, as constituted. It's just, the unfortunate reality of it. This is also a good time because this is what we've done the entire time. I think just to be kind of honest with you guys, about where we all are in general, Do you want to start? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I'll start.
Go for it.
First of all, yeah, you know, even beyond the necessary, like, you know, real tangible things that you guys see on a week-to-week basis of the show, Bill also designs a lot of the graphics and things that we do from, like, a day-to-day basis. Not necessarily the logo stuff. We do outsource the logo stuff, but, like, when you're looking at the Twitch stream and you see the, you know, the text overlays and things like that, you know, he does a majority of that. And so, you know, he's very crucial to this, and so, you know, I mean, I'm sad about it. I'm sad about that. But
me too.
There are some other real life things that are kind of coming up. Obviously, Bill's moving, and I had the unfortunate turn of events over the past month of August. At the beginning of the month, it's been a really, really weird roller coaster for my family. Found out my dad had a brain tumor, then found out that that was, you know, benign, and then later to find out that my dad is actually diagnosed with very advanced cancer. So as, like, real stuff kind of comes and really have to deal with it, it's really hard to take something like this that I do love doing but find myself not passionate about the subject material, mostly because I feel like I'm a jaded girlfriend at this point when it comes to WWE. We as a company had several people, I don't give a fuck, so I'm just going to say it, where it's like we had yeses from Alexa Bliss, and, you know, obviously we had Kofi Kingston on,
Kevin Owens,
and
Charlotte,
of people that were like, yeah, I'll come and do the show, and we're going to do the show. And for this reason is why we don't say, hey, we're going to have so-and-so on the show. Because when WWE comes in and goes, nah.
Yep.
And it's just
I spent the day with Fandango having a panic attack because he's texting me going, man, I really want to do this and I can't get an email back. And then he found out he had permission, but he was so scared to do the show without that email that he wound up getting.
Yep.
That Fandango had to pull out.
Tyler Breeze was 100% in until he wasn't, which means that somebody got to him, you know?
And it affected a lot. Because I know people are going to be listening out there and say, buck up, sour grapes, and all that stuff. And what I would say is, that is not the case. I understand that with WWE, you know, what we could offer them is minimal, but that's not the reason why.
The problem is that right now where New Age Insiders Entertainment LLC stands is we've hit a ceiling, right? And in order to break through that ceiling, there needs to be something to give, right? We got to that point where it has been, you know, and we talked about it a few months ago, but it's like we can only do so much working 40 hours somewhere else and still putting this in here. And then, yeah, like I really just said, you know, it's really tough when real life kind of comes a knocking. I mean, Bill's making a life decision in a way more happy and fun way than mine was, you know, and it's really tough to just kind of deal with that when, you know, those type of things kind of rear its ugly head.
Right. And the reality is that I can only speak for myself, is things haven't felt the same in a while around here. Probably draw a line from, like, the dissolving, the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior that was our network.
Yeah.
When that fell apart, I think a lot of our goodwill and vibe kind of went with it for a while, and then it was tough to get back, and then you find yourself in a place where you go, how hard do I want to fight to get back to where I already was, just to, you know, already understand that we had to keep growing. And I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't care who's listening and what you think of me and all that stuff. I'm tired, man.
Yep.
I've been doing this. We started this Twitter almost 7 years ago. January would be 7 years. And we've been doing this show for over 5, and I'm tired.
Yeah.
For anybody out there wondering or maybe just needs to hear this, we have never, and I mean never, never made a penny from this.
Right.
Any money from the Patreons or small sponsorships or things that we've acquired along the way financially have gone to the microphone, the new mixer Bill needed a couple months ago, the computer that we needed, the monitor that we needed, the headphones that we needed,
the new camera that we needed.
When we traveled and we put on these big events, and it's like, oh, yeah. God, I met friends from all around the country, right. And it wouldn't have been if not for you guys.
Right.
Well, it was 100% out of pocket. And this is, again, this isn't sour grapes either.
No.
It's just the reality is, I'm just going to be as transparent as I possibly can. I do not like WWE right now.
Yeah.
I'm scared that I'm never going to get that feeling back. Nothing about wrestling right now excites me. And here's a big, big, big part of it that needs to be said. I don't want to ruin this for you. Because if you're an avid Raw, if you fucking love Raw and you think WWE is the best and you love, I don't care who your favorite wrestlers and you love it and you don't want to listen to Wednesday to hear me bitch about how I'm starting to not anymore or really don't anymore.
Right.
Well, that's not a good show.
No.
And I don't want to blow out your candle. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so me sitting here and next week trying to think of why Raw sucked and fantasy book things that will never, ever actually happen, so it's moot, well, that's not good for you either. If you do find yourself like me drifting away and maybe losing interest, then stewing over something is way worse than letting it go.
Right.
And for me, I'm not going to give wrestling up altogether or anything like that, but I got to admit that like it is laborious to watch every Raw
right.
and every SmackDown
mm-hmm.
and every pay-per-view. And have to watch them because I have to talk about it and I have to know what's going on, even though I don't care. And if it wasn't for NAI, I would have stopped watching months ago.
Yeah, if it wasn't for our very generous Patreons, you know, I wouldn't be sitting there watching Raw every week and chatting with them,
that's
too.
That's it. One of our big Patreon rewards is we watch Raw live with people. And we talk to them every day, but like the big thing is Raw. And people online will notice this, too. I haven't been online nearly as much lately, probably in months. You know, whether it be the Patreon chat, you know, we fulfill all our obligations, but I mean, I'm not creating as much because I'm sitting there like, I don't care.
Right.
And I'm tired. I work 50 plus hours a week.
Yep.
I'm fucking tired.
Same.
In 2000, here's a little inside baseball. In December 2018, I tried to take my life. I was done. And I tried everything because what we've all done, mm-hmm. the three of us, and only Bill knew that, now the whole world does. but the three of us have sacrificed tons. And this isn't a complaint. This is this life we chose. I'm not talking at anybody. I'm just trying to explain.
Right.
That you don't understand the 2018 I had where I was basically unemployed because I was scratching and clawing for dimes and nickels so I could put everything I had into NAI, which plateaued financially. We make like $500 a month. Oh, there it is. There's the number.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing is like the people that definitely like it's unfortunate because Bill does a great job at presenting this show, and I think as a complete unit, we do a great job of presenting this show as far more professional than it is. Because, you know, I mean, here's an example. I'm going to be grabbing, I don't know how much slack I have, but I'm going to turn the camera around, and you can see the rest of the studio, and it's not glamorous.
Yeah, let me do it.
Yeah, you know what, Bill, you
I'll
do
take
it.
Care of
that
it.
Makes more sense. But it's like, you know, this isn't a glamorous operation, and I think...
this isn't our job.
And think... people assume that it is,
I know.
Which is like, hey, great job,
because we're online so much.
Yeah, great job, fellas. But yeah, you know, there's like, you know, boxes of the desks we built and a Kylo Ren mask somewhere, and then there's Batman hanging out. But
only half the room's painted.
Yeah, only half the room's painted.
What you see.
Yeah, what you see is painted. Everything else is just a dungy white wall. But anyway, you know, and so people don't subscribe to the Patreon and whatever. We're far past that point already. But it's like, yeah, about less than 1% of our audience.
We get thousands of listeners.
And less than 1% contributes. And it's like, yeah, man, if we had 25% of that, yeah, we would have been able to. Right.
And this is, and please, this is yeah, not no, a this message isn't, of like, don't, you're the don't, reason we're doing
yeah, no,
this.
No.
It's
no.
just we need you to hear why.
You
like
know.
The real, real world stuff where it's like, even if this was paying a bill for me,
right.
I'd find the justification.
Yeah. But well, the part-time job. I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, we sit and you have meetings with, you know, the three of us sit down because we're the company. And, you know, it's just basically like, look, if we could have all just taken part-time jobs and had this be the other part-time job, it would have been fine.
Right.
You know, but
here's the thing, the most important part. The hardest part about all of this is all of you.
Yeah.
The hardest part is like, you know, Bill's going to be leaving and that's a real world friend.
Yep.
Bringing Danny with them, that's a real world friend, right? And then the hardest part is I don't know if I'm going to go to WrestleMania 30s. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what we don't know either.
Right.
Because we're not, you know, we're not at a funeral right now and we're going to be live next week, but that's going to be it for a while.
Yeah. The word I've been using is hiatus.
Okay.
That's the word that I've been using.
Just never taken a week off in right. 5.5 years.
Yep. And really, that's kind of where I'm at, too. You know, I think tired is a great example of it. And, you know, things get jumbled up and priorities get kind of straightened and stuff. And I don't think that the creation is going to go away. You know, I think that the three of us, you know, work very, very well together. And so while we tried to split the wrestling, right? Like we tried to change the show to make it more, and that wasn't a good choice. And we just never really have been able to find the pulse since the Ultimate Warrior destruction of the network. Right. And I think you're 100% right with that. And that's on us. That's not on you. That's not on, you know, the Rant with Ant or, you know, any of the For the Pops or any of those other shows. Yep. It's, you know, it's on us, yep. You know, and
no, that's 100% true.
And I have there's a gentleman that I pay a lot of attention to. You know, I sit and I talk, he's you know, kind of like a business mentor of mine. And he always says the same thing where it's, if I'm not having fun, if I'm not intellectually curious, or if it's not making me money, why am I doing it? And, you know, you sit around and you look at it, and I've gotten to that point. I personally have gotten to that point where none of those three boxes are checked right. for me. And so, yeah, like Shawn Michaels, I lost my smile.
Yep.
You know?
And here's why I can only speak for me. Here's why I've been holding on. And the thing that kind of hurts the most is, we make no mistake about it, have made very real, actual friendships over the last 7 years. Like, you know,
I also think that Edward Sharp just tuned in right now.
Oh no. What a time. But Edward Sharp's one of them, but yeah. You know, I do this every time, but Colin and Erica and Danny and Justin and, you know, Jedi and Joey and I, all the
dozens of
officiated Max and, Dylan and Nicole's yeah, wedding.
Right. Max and Rob. I mean, Dylan and Nicole. I mean, if it wasn't for Dylan and Nicole, I wouldn't have my girlfriend and I wouldn't have the life that I'm trying to build with her. And I wouldn't have, just, you know, LA has our logo tattooed on him, you know what I mean? And we made very real friend. Matt McCool is a real friend of mine, mm-hmm. And I am saddest about the fact that I don't know if I'll see you again. And that is really tough for me. And I want you all to hear that if you're a listener, if you're a tweeter, if you're someone we've had the pleasure to get to meet in person, this is the hardest part, is I have looked forward to seeing you much more than the wrestling. And I hope I see you again. And I'm not going to deactivate the Twitter. I don't think I'm going to be on there as much because Twitter is a cesspool.
Oh, it's awful.
And I don't like it.
Oh, it's garbage. I don't, that was me 2 years ago.
But we're not dying here, but like, yeah, for the first time in 5.5 years, I want a week off.
Yeah.
And I don't want to watch Raw and I don't want to force it. And I think we've earned it. And it's such a perfect storm because Bill's leaving. So we'd have to make radical changes.
Right.
And the two of us are exhausted.
And cause like, Chip coming in isn't the right answer.
No, I don't need that. I don't need an Urkel-like scenario yeah. where I walk yeah. in and he's...
want the stream to work.
Right, yeah. He's just... No. Right, I just like... No, he's like
we love Adam.
But yeah, but I... you know, before we wrap this up and, you know, whatever, is, yeah, to DC Matthews, who is a real, real friend of mine and been with us forever
yeah.
and awesome... thank you, and I'm sorry. Sorry if we let you down. Sorry if we should have handled the network differently, which we probably should have. And I just hope that, you know, Jamie and DC and Doc and Brian and Crockett, and I hope that McCool and Chip and Damien
and
Trina.
Yeah, also just a real quick shout out to Ant and his brother.
They're
going through some stuff today.
Well, I hope that everybody's
a whirlwind of shit.
Well, yeah, I hope that right. well,
everybody's had a real shitty month and a half.
I hope that Ant's, the kid on the way, is healthy, and I hope his brother's healthy, and I hope everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
And to Ant and Issa and G-Rod, mm-hmm. and that's it. Ant and Issa and G-Rod, thank you. And sorry if we let you down. It wasn't the plan. And if you're out there listening, I hope we didn't let you down, because we didn't want to, and we tried really, really, really hard to give people a unique opportunity to go online and not be miserable, and to meet people that actually liked this thing. And even if we didn't get along all the time, I'm looking at you, Patreon chat. You met some friends, and I hope that we are as successful in your eyes as we wanted to be. We will be live next week.
Yep.
For the final time in a while, we are going to take a break. Not going to make any promises or anything like that. We will see. But I want to like wrestling again, and I think I need to be a fan again. Yes. And not whatever the hell this is.
Well, yeah.
I think I need to take a break from it to love it. I think I need to recharge, because I haven't...
It really dawned on me, because you're absolutely right. It's really hard doing what we do when you have to look at everything so analytically, because you can't sit there and tune your brain off. And I think that that's why over
the past...
You have
to be prepared to analyze this
right,
whole
and
thing.
I think that that's why the most fun I've ever had at wrestling is... At the random progress shows we go to at during WrestleMania, the Evolve shows that come here, the progress that come here, beyond
the NXT show that wasn't a takeover.
Yeah, the NXT.
Some random thing in San Jose.
You know, and it's just like, we have fun there because I get to tune my brain off and just watch it. And, you know, it's really tough because it was either Conrad or... Someone else.
It was Conrad. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, okay. So Conrad wrote a piece, and he said that the wrestling podcast bubble has burst. And I tweeted that out after I had read it, and he's 100% right. And it's weird because there is this world of pro wrestling is so weird because it's sports and it's theater and it's carnival, and in no other place,
they don't even know what they want to be anymore.
They don't know what they want to be, and they need to figure out them before we can love them again. But the big part is that Bully Ray being a wrestler and then also having his own show, we don't have a shot, because of course, random fan A is going to gravitate towards Stone Cold Steve Austin and JR and Jericho and Busted Open, because people that they know are there, because Andrew Luck,
and God bless him. And maybe they are, and I'm just not on the radar, but I mean, like, even Adam Pacitti. He's a fraction of as famous as he was when he was on What Culture Now.
Right.
Cultaholic, a self-made startup or whatever. I'm sorry. I don't even find them to be overly relevant anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like it was always about the wagon you got behind. And unfortunately, whether it's our shortcomings, the universe's role, what they wanted for us, we never got picked up.
Right.
And that's what we would have needed to be. It was picked up.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, because nobody wants to... The money just isn't there, because Pepsi's going to sponsor...
Traditional sports and the actual company.
Right, not us. And it, you know, my fault, your fault, the world's fault, doesn't matter. Right? The fact is that we never got to the point where there was that case. But again, it's like, yeah, we're not a show. Like, we do pretty well. I mean, you know, I was talking with Amazon at one point because we were talking about getting up on there and on all that nonsense. And it's like, yeah, our show falls in the 1% of podcasts. Now, granted, the other 99% of podcasts get less than 200 listens, so that 1% is large in the world of podcasting, but that just shows you how much is there. But yeah, Conrad said that the wrestling podcast bubble had burst, and I think it's because this is so accessible and the fan base is so opinionated that it's really hard to kind of create that bar stool.
And any two Jamooks, and you know, they don't even have to be in the same room, in the same state, in the same universe, and they're just sitting there, And like one thing I think that we did well, quite frankly, was make this feel like it was a radio-worthy show. And
yeah,
I think
a lot of it people, was at one point.
I don't think a lot of people do. But it's not about other people. It's about us. And so, Bill, if there's anything you would like to get on, but we will be live next week. That will be the, let's call it the long-awaited mid-season finale.
Yeah, sure.
So like the slide says, before the show every week I change it, and before tonight's was episode 271. So that means there's 271 straight weeks, whether it was Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday.
Pre-recorded
every
live.
Single week we brought you a show. And we're tired, like you guys said.
Yeah.
And one thing that Liam was saying that really popped out to me, and I haven't told anybody this yet except for Danny and my family knows, obviously. But my dad was in the hospital 2 days ago as well.
Yeah.
And he had this thing called, I can't remember what it's called, but it was some sort of like brief amnesia that he had. and he lost all of his memory for about 24 hours.
Ah, that's terrifying.
And then it came back completely. And so it was global transient amnesia, I think that was what it was called. And so it's due to like high blood pressure and like a bunch of different things that are going on. So that was a whirlwind, knowing that I'm leaving here in 17 days to go move 1,300 miles away, and that my dad might be sick, but everything seems fine now and everything is good. So fingers crossed that doesn't happen again. But that kind of emotional thing really hit me and made me even more tired this week than I normally am, working 55 hours a week plus this stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm 100% with you guys, and I think we are making the right decision to take said hiatus.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Jason said, it's not, we're not buried in the ground. We're not 6 feet under. We're going to be friends for life. We're going to continue to do stuff down the road, hopefully. And, I'm gonna miss this, but I'm not at the same time.
Yeah. The big thing is that I'm constantly just in what I got going on, where it's like, any given day I'm doing 15,000 different things.
Right.
And, you know, you always make time for the things that are important, and for forever this has been important, and it still is. It's just very much, you know, I listened to Ant when he was on, when he basically went on a show to just kind of talk about Rant with Ant ending.
Yep.
And, you know, he just kind of talked about it where it's like, I don't hate, you know, Issa and Phil, and he loved hanging out with them and talking wrestling with them, but it was so hard to just get behind a product that doesn't get behind you.
Correct.
And, you know, I think that that's just kind of where we're all at.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
And I can hear people saying like, well, what about AEW? What about NXT and all that stuff? And it's just like, well, here's something I need to throw out there for you. We have tried. And like, look, AEW is not Ring of Honor.
Right.
I've tried to talk about Ring of Honor. I've tried to talk about
Impact. The reality is you don't care.
It's all about it. It's all actually about WWE. And right now those shows aren't great. Their ratings are down. Our numbers are starting to feel it. The interest level ebbs and flows with that company exclusively. And like, and then, oh, by the way, guys, in 2 weeks, I don't have a producer. So it's like, there's no one reason we're trying to lay out all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just like we talked about how AEW is trying to be too woke for the kids.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's just, there's so many, many factors. And it's just, you know, I mean, none of them are you, but
that's where we are.
That's where we are, man.
You know what I mean? And, you know, we can't. And that'll be for next week. But, you know, we can't thank you enough. Thank everyone that listened and clicked and shared and gave us and bought a T-shirt and gave a shit. Everybody that gave a shit.
Look, I say this to him every single time that we do this show or as we cross a milestone. And so we're getting there. And it's not bad for a couple of guys that wanted 100 people they didn't know to follow him on Twitter.
Right.
Right. Yep. We did a hell of a thing. We did a really good job, and
this project is a success.
Yeah, this is a success. You know, I mean, not every season ends in a championship, but you can still have a successful season, and that's kind of where I'm at.
I feel the same. And again, next week will be for that. We'll have a real topic for you too, but it'll be you know, the mid-season finale, and we'll have time to say thanks and all that good stuff. I will put this out on the air because I'd like this. If you have anything that you'd like to send us, a short audio clip or a video with your favorite memories or just something you'd like to throw out at us, now's the time. You have 7 days.
NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Yep, and you have to get it in by like Tuesday afternoon. That's the rules. We can at least Tuesday night so we can get that done. And we will see you next week. Tell your friends. Thank you for listening. Thank you for best years of my life. And we will see you soon.
And before we sign off, do you want to touch on the Patreon stuff?
Oh, sure. So we're going to discontinue the Patreon starting in October, just because we won't be able to provide you live content for it, and that's what you signed up for. So if you'd like to make a donation one last time so I can now pay the rent that went up three times as much as I'm used to paying, you can go to patreon.com/newageinsiders and just... a donation if you want. But
if you pay for the year, you can move in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. Oh, my girlfriend will love it. And you,
yeah, but the cattle love it more. Yeah,
so, right. So all of you right here, as we stand on September 4th, have already made the pledge for September.
Yes. So we will honor that.
So we're going to honor that. We're going to put out a Patreon show every week until the end of September, and then we're going to put a pause on the charges, so you won't get charged for anything past your September pledge.
Yeah. You don't have to unsubscribe or anything like that. We just will basically just put it on hiatus. It is, so you won't get charged. So in the event that we do make a triumphant surprise return at a Royal Rumble, and you're like, hey, I want to do this again, we don't have to go through the subscription process.
Right. And so next week, you know, I've been talking in the Patreon chat. We'll do the Be Heard, our final Be Heard for now, or ever, who knows, next week. And then if you guys have any other topics that you want us to discuss...
Yes.
On the Patreon shows remaining in September, please let us know, and we'd love to do it for you.
Yeah. So basically, the game plan will be that, you know, if Bill's got a lot of stuff going on in terms of like packing and moving and all that of other fun stuff.
Yep.
But he, you know, like we're gonna do as much pre-recording as we can, mm-hmm. so it won't be like live, just because of logistics.
Yeah. So in the next couple of days, maybe 3 or 4 days, if you have any topics that you want us to discuss, we're gonna batch record some stuff and. We'll put it out there weekly for you guys for the rest of September, and then we'll go on our way.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us for the past 5.5 years, and we'll do it one more time next week. If it's Wednesday night and 8 o'clock, you need to be on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We will see you for a much-anticipated one, I'm sure, and hopefully something real fun happens along the way, and we get to talk to you all about it. My name's been Jason Maltoff.
I'm Liam Strega.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on all social media platforms at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. Our website is newageinsiders.com. We are going to go over to patreon.com/newageinsiders now if you'd like to join us. And we'll catch you next week. Thank you so much.
We out.